Infendo Radio is on now.
Yeah, I mean, again, with, like, you know, Battletoads and Contra, whatever, I mean, two games that, you know, if you're playing, especially with somebody else, whatever, I mean, it can get very heated, something like that. I mean, they're the quintessential games for that type of, like, you know, emotion and just anger. But yeah. I'm surprised you're playing with, like, you know, your own girlfriend right now to realize, I'm like, are you sure that's the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah. That. Yeah, it's, well, she's good, actually rather good at games. She's not too bad at Contra, it kicks my butt in Gradius, and I don't even want to play fighting games with her, so it's not, yeah, there's nothing to worry about there.
Sooner or later, it's just going to be. I mean, once you get to those long distance relationships, and you're playing online multiplayer, and
yeah, that's right. Well, no, we're having a good time playing the classics. It's an interesting change. I've kind of been missing playing some of the newer titles, but at the same time, it's cool to go back to the roots. We've been playing Gradius on an actual arcade machine, not here at home, but like at one of our friends' house. He actually it's not a Play Choice 10, but it's like a it's a one of the machines where it has multiple games on it. But I can't exactly remember what kind of cabinet it is, but it has that one. It has Centipede on it. It has
is it one of those things you get in the mall or something like that?
Well, it's an actual arcade cabinet, but I'm not sure that if it's the original guts inside of it or if he like modded it himself to put multiple games on it. So I'd have to ask him about that one.
I'm trying to think of the title, whatever. But I know what you're probably thinking of.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool. All I have to say is that Galaga is just like the ultimate. Just like tough man's game, it's just rough.
No, life's pretty much been getting the best of me right now to actually even playing any games right now. I mean, luckily my 3DS kind of jump started that a little bit, but even with a traditional handle of this case of this like magnitude, it's just still getting pushed away, whatever, in favor of, you know, real life duty. But I'm hoping to buy more stuff for this little thing right now, and I'm, like I said last week, I'm probably looking forward to actually, you know, downloading full retail titles on this whole, like, on this, like, you know, on my 3DS, just for the convenience, and it will, I mean, I can see why you do that exactly, Eugene, just because, I mean, it's better than just switching out the cart and in and out, but then again, I do like having to have a game, whatever, and if somebody doesn't own it, they want to play it, whatever, I will loan it to them. I mean, there is that, but if it's like a Metroid or a Zelda, I may end up just buying, like, the full physical copy just so I can have it, because every Zelda title I have a physical copy of.
Yeah, no, it's, there's definitely some games that I'm going to purchase, outright at, and, you know, making sure that I have the instructions manual and the cart and everything like that, but with some games, I just kind of want to, I know for sure Animal Crossing is going to be one of those ones that I just download, because that's going to be one that I want to have, have on me all the time, you know, I wouldn't want to, so I guess it's going to be just selective as to which ones that I want to download or purchase at retail.
I mean, in a more ideal world, I would like to actually just have absolutely everything downloaded on my Nintendo systems, but until Nintendo have like this a normal online account, similar to what either Apple or Sony or Microsoft do, mm-hmm. where if for whatever reason you buy a new console because your old one is faulty after warranty period, or you just decide you want another one, or for whatever reason you can then download your games again, or if you know,
yeah, it, I think that,
like
that
if you have them stored on the hard drive and the hard drive gives up.
Right, yeah, I think that that Steam is the beacon of light for what Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony should all be striving for, because what they've done with the PC is just fantastic. I can log into my Steam account from any computer and play one of my Steam games. Of course, I'd have to download the game natively to the PC, but I mean that's still possible. I'm able to do that if I want to, and that's just not something that can be said of the 3DS or the Wii U right now.
Yeah, I think Steam is the best example of a company who's doing this absolutely almost perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo is kind of moving in the right direction with their most recent update. They had this little feature which lets you now copy a game saved on one USB drive to another, and it doesn't seem to be locked per game like a lot of memory management used to be. So any games you have downloaded to one hard drive, you can copy over to another hard drive. The only problem being is you can't then transfer these games onto another system which you have authorized. So it's only a backup for the hard drive.
And see, right now I don't have a hard drive hooked up to my Wii U. I mean, I have the, gosh, what were the SKUs? Was there a 10 gig and a 30 gig or something like that? Or an 8 gig, I think. And
gig and 32 gig.
That's the ones.
Yeah, so I have the black one, the premium or whatever, and I haven't even come close to filling it up yet. So I'm sure in the future, once I start downloading more full retail titles, that'll have to be something I'll have to consider. But right now, I don't even have a USB device hooked up to my Wii U. Do you guys have hard drives?
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, again, with the not so big. I do not, but I mean, I am kind of preparing myself to have one in the future to buy one just in case once, you know, we finally do get games on this console.
Right.
But it's, yeah, I'm prepared to do it, whatever, because I know my management on there is going to be, you know, pretty much strenuous to the point where I'm going to have to be moving things from on the console onto the US, onto my, like, you know, external hard drive. But I'm just curious as far as, like, you know, I know that there's, again, different kind of versions on there to use as far as they're compatible, because little flash drives, for instance, are not compatible with these things to set for save games, are they, or are they not?
It's not guaranteed, I think, is the line.
Okay,
I think some will work, but some won't.
EA love hate thing, but let's start off with like that you know, famous moms in gaming. I know we probably don't have one, but maybe just do like a little 3-4 minute thing on it.
Yeah, let's do that. Go ahead and do you have anything to start us off with?
Yeah, I can do it. You know, with today being, you know, Mother's Day right now, and obviously we're doing, and I know, and Lewis had mentioned that, you know, Mother's Day is like well celebrated like three, like at a different date in the UK, and this got me thinking, you know, for, you know, what are, you know, we all love our mothers, you know, for anything that, I mean, you know, it, to me, even if you have a kid, whatever, it's a matter of, like, it's the, you, how you, way you, it being a parent would make you a great, you know, a great mom. But, and I got me thinking, like, you know, what are some of the great video moms in video games? Like, you know, I'm not talking about the moms that play video games, I'm talking about the characters that play video games. And, you know, I asked this question to both of you guys earlier today, and, you know, and, I mean, what kind of comes to mind is like your favorite mom in video games. I mean, the one that kind of stands out.
For me, gosh, that's kind of a hard question. There's like a video game fictional character. Is that what you're?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, one that's either it doesn't matter if they're like the, you know, a central focus of the story, or a protagonist, or, you know, a supporting character, or one that you will only see like maybe at the beginning of a game and then at the end credits. I mean, if this was a video game uncle's list, I think we would have Link's uncle on there, the top ones on there. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what I mean as far as, like, you know, ones that are infused into the story.
Right. Well, as it's Mother's Day, I'm not sure exactly that that she's a video game mom per se, but the only one that comes to my mind off the top of my head is from the Simpsons arcade game, because I always like to play as Marge because she had a vacuum cleaner, and that was super awesome to kick some butt with Marge in that arcade game. Did you guys ever play that one?
Oh yeah, I did, and I was really happy that it was on, you know, released in Xbox Live Arcade, last year. And even trying to find a cabinet of that, whatever, was so hard, whatever. I mean, but anytime my parents would take me to the movies or something like that, you know, and my older brother and I, we would, to kill time, whatever, as we're waiting for the movie, we would just go into, like, you know, the arcade that was located inside the theater, and we would always go to the beat-em-ups. And, of course, you know, Simpsons, X-Men, or TMNT, or, you know, Gauntlet, for instance, whatever, these type of, like, beat-em-ups that we would just, like, go out and just plug in quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter just so we can beat it. But I could see Marge is kind of a cop-out just because it's a television show character.
Yeah.
But it works as well because, I mean, today at work we were kind of discussing, like, who are the best, like, TV or movie moms and stuff like that. And, you know, I can't even remember what everybody was throwing out, whatever, but it just seems a little bit harder to name, like, you know, like, famous TV or movie moms or something like that, which is very kind of sad right now coming from me at the moment. But
right.
But the one I mentioned, like, okay, you know, if I had to make a mom, it'd have to be Ellen Ripley, for instance. I mean, she's a mom, and, you know, she's a very strong, like, you know, feminine character. But if I had to pick a video game character, I'm picking this solely because of how sad it is right now. And I'm talking about your mom in, obviously, Pokemon Red and Blue.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're, as you start the train or whatever, you know, you open up in your house, you have your room, you go downstairs, and this is a two-story, I mean, this is a two-story building, whatever, with obviously two rooms, one being your room, the other being the kitchen. And you meet with your mom down there, and I didn't put two and two together until a couple years later, or a couple years, like about a year and a half ago, when I realized, wait a minute, if you sleep upstairs and there's only one bedroom, your mom sleeps in the kitchen. How sad is that right now, looking back at, like, you know, Pokemon Red and Blue, and how just demoralizing is that? I mean, the reason I say that favorite, I mean, I'm putting that as one that comes to mind to me, and how just ridiculously sad it is. I mean, obviously, it's based on programming, how you, like, okay, they couldn't put another room in there, but or even, right, like, a pixelated bed, but the fact that it's like, where do I go? Where I'm like, I'm just gonna sit here and wait until you catch all those Pokemans, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say the Ash's mom too, or I always call my character Ash in the game, so whatever, the Pokemon Master's mom, because she seems to always be in the very beginning of the game, but then you never really hear from her much. I guess in the newer game she kind of calls on the little cell phone type device. I can't remember exactly what it's called off the top of my head, but yeah, there's actually quite a few video game moms now that I'm actually thinking about them. I mean, for me, the one of the worst moms has to be, like, we were just talking about this, BioShock, Tenenbaum. There we go, Dr. Tenenbaum, because she's basically sends off her kids, the little sisters, off to go suck the plasmids or whatever from the dead bodies or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that, even when you're playing that game, obviously, the ending is based on, like, you know, if you either harvest or save the little sisters.
Right.
And even if you go through the game and you save all the little sisters, save for, like, one, and even at the end of the game, whatever, she still just tears you a new one, just thinking, like, at the end, like, credit scene, whatever, right, well, the ending cinematic, whatever, before the credits, and even if you harvest just one, she just kind of rips into you, and it's just thinking, like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, geez, lady, I went through all this work to save one, I mean, to save everyone but one?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, but, I mean, it just, like, oh, wow, all that hard work for nothing. I mean, I'm just doing my job right now, trying to, you know, I'm underwater in this underwater city, whatever, and you know what? I just thought to myself, I'm just going to harvest one to see what happens. And now you're mad at me, even though I saved about, like, 19 out of 20 little sisters for you? Okay.
I went through
all that trouble for nothing. Thanks, lady.
I think that brings up some interesting morality issues if someone gets upset that you only harvest one person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found a interesting mother, as it were, from video games. One which I think we probably all overlooked, because it's from the Zelda series. And although Link never has a mum that I can recall, in Wind Waker he has a grandma.
This is true, yes.
Who would be eligible for Mother's Day.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot that his grandma was in Wind Waker, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, I was thinking of Ocarina of Time. I don't remember there being any moms in there.
Well, there is mention in Ocarina of Time, I think, what was it, after the Great Deep, what was it, like the... After you complete the forest temple, when the Great Deku, like the new Great Deku tree sprout, you know, arises from the ground. I think it's the Great Deku tree. No. It is the Great Deku sprout, whatever, that tells the story, whatever, that kind of, it's kind of an ambiguous story about how there was this woman who was a Helion that brought a child to the forest, whatever, and she died, and the Korki raised that kid. Basically, what that sprout said is basically telling the story of Link and basically her mother, you know, sacrificing herself to bring this child in, get new life. So, I mean, that was one thing I kind of caught up on, like, really early. But, I mean, it's you never see it on screen. It's just a story that's told.
Right, right. Do you guys have any other video game moms that you guys can think of? The only other one that pops out at me is... from the Chrono Trigger series, and I can't even remember Chrono's mom's name, but she was kind of a big part of the story.
Yeah.
It is.
She actually has a bigger part than, say, the mum from Pokemon. But
right.
She, the one from Pokemon probably stood out more because she has an ongoing anime.
I bet she has a bed, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I actually was playing through Chrono Trigger on downloaded the app on my phone, and I don't particularly care to play Chrono Trigger with it on a cell phone now that I've actually going with it, but it's kind of interesting to play on that device.
Does that version have some sort of cloud sync? Or does it, you know, say it's iCloud?
I'm playing it on an Android device, so I'm not 100% on that. But now that I think about it, I kind of think that it may, because I have a Kindle Fire as well, and I have it on both devices, but I haven't bothered to check to see if it's saving anything to the cloud.
That's what's always worried me about jumping into an RPG on my phone, because I seem to probably go through phones more often than I finish RPGs.
Right.
So that wouldn't be a great mix for me.
Right. Yeah, I haven't found anything like that right now, so I want to say no, not at least on the Android front, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was that way with the Apple portion of it.
Yeah. I know, I got a joke entry. Actually, I've got a couple joke entries in the mum category.
All right, let's do this.
All right, let's go on. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, the first one we have, obviously from Metroid, we have Mother Brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically not a mother, but it's in the name.
She's not the greatest of them. I mean, obviously she controls, like, mentally capacity whatever the Metroids, like, you know, hordes of Metroids, but yeah, definitely not winning any Mother of the Year awards. No. I mean, if I wanted to put the one that was from Captain N that was voiced by the same guy that did the plant from the plant from a Little Shop of Horrors. So I mean, and I still try to put that interpretation of Mother Brain out of my mind. So I'm still getting nightmares of that day, whatever, because it looks like as if my mucus grew a face and a conscience. That's basically what it looks like. You know how that character is, whatever, interpretive. But then again, a lot of the other characters' designs are just messed up in that series. I mean, even when you're looking at the game, like the series. Or like the television show, you're just saying to yourself, who financed and paid this exactly? And then of course back in your mind says, oh wait, Nintendo greenlighted this. I forgot. So
all right, so Mother Brain, what else we got?
Okay. Let's have a quick look. We got a normal entry. We got Safita from Soul Calibur 2.
Oh yeah, she's one of the big-breasted women in that game. Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, although apparently one of the only mothers in fighting games, or at least that I could find.
Okay.
Which seems odd, considering how large the casts are. And my ultimate entry, if anyone else doesn't have any yet, I wanted to save this one for last.
Yeah, I the only other one that I can think of is from when we were talking about Animal Crossing. I remember on the GameCube version, your mom used to send you notes in the game or whatever in your mailbox that you can read. That not, I mean, obviously you never actually saw her in the game, but it was addressed from your mother.
That seems a big growing pattern with Nintendo games, because we've got the mum from Pokemon. There was Link's grandma sent letters as well, with rupees.
Right, okay, that's right.
And in Animal Crossing as well.
I mean, yeah, back to Link's grandmother. I mean, even like for a game, like, you know, for a series that does not have, you know, voice acting. I mean, seeing her, you know, like as she looks off her house, as you see Link onto like Tetra's pirate ship, whatever, as they're off to, you know, find, you know, Link's sister. I mean, even that whole like that foundation of that scene, whatever. I mean, it's kind of very heartfelt. I mean, even that, whatever. You're obviously trying to find, you know, save someone that your own blood, but yet, I mean, it was an interesting little thing once this game released that, you know, it was able to introduce, okay, Link has a grandmother and has a sister, and of course you have to ask yourself, what happened to his parents? But again, fill in the blanks here, you know, it's like, insert tragic backstory here that we will not address.
Right. What about the cooking mama? Is she a mom of something? The mom of food?
Cooking terrible food and possibly terrible games, so I think that we could put into as far as a terrible mom category.
And then another
is very close to mine as well.
Yeah, another terrible mom has to be, well, I don't know if you guys play the StarCraft series, but Kerrigan, she's the mother of the Zerg, so there's that.
I'm sure she probably got millions upon millions of Mother's Day cards from her, you know, her Zergling, so, but obviously not from me, so, yeah.
Right, well, that's really all I can think of. I'm tapping out here on the video game moms, but I'm actually surprised that I thought of so many. Speaking of, actually, Nintendo franchises, have they ever spoken of Samus's mother at all? Is there any...
It's based, if you look at the Metroid Magna, whatever, or any of the, like, the brief story notes about it, because, you know, we know that Samus was orphaned, and even if you look back at Metroid Other M, how she was killed by Ridley. So, I mean, obviously, because I know her dad's... Based on the story, you know, her family was, like, on some, like... was on, a colony on, on some colony where they're farming, what was this, like, this mineral called Floratite or something like that. I know I'm butchering the name. And, you know, the space pirates invaded this colony, and, of course, I think, was it Samus's father sacrificed himself on, like, some ship, whatever, that had Floratite and space pirates on it, and then Samus's mother sacrificed herself for Samus when Ridley killed her. So that's the only thing I think is mentioned on there. I mean, she's not as far as central, as far as, like, somebody to be heart, like, you know, further on the story, because as Samus, I mean, she's just one of those, I mean... If you wanted to put a mother story to it, you can definitely classify Samus as one if you look at Super Metroid and the Infant Metroid as well. So, I mean, that has a lot of bit of parallels to, you know, this whole discussion of, like, Mother's Day. I mean, hell, I mean, the whole concept of Super Metroid can be brought up about, you know, like, about motherhood. I mean, you're trying to find this Infant Metroid as far as, like, something that you have an attachment to, even though for something that we just have a few sprites of to actually see said story.
Right, right. Well, Lewis, why don't you take us away with your final entry, your final mother entry?
Yeah, certainly. I don't think you'll be disappointed on this one. It's for a game I hadn't heard of before the last hour or so. It was a
hour or so.
Yeah, yeah. Using a popular internet search engine, I found a game for the DS by the developers called Zigzag Island, who apparently also made great games such as Dreamers Series Teacher and Dreamers Shop Owner. And the so honourable mentions for Mother's Day in games goes to the DS title Let's Play Mums, to which the player is the mum.
There's no way that's a real title. Wow.
It's definitely Let's is. Play it came out wow. in the UK because it says mums as an M-U-M-S.
Oh, that's amazing. I have to get this title, and I don't even know what it's about, but I have to.
It's got fantastic box art. So,
Look at that! Oh my gosh, it's a.
Oh wow! Wow!
Oh.
It is awful.
Oh, what are we doing to our children? Everybody needs to Google "Let's Play Mums" or Dorito It or whatever you want to do. Figure it out how to
I'll
look
say
it up.
we may hyperlink it in like the podcast post, but no, but I don't think there's any way we're gonna put that as our headline photo, or whatever, because I think we'll just I think our site traffic will just like bottom out at that point.
Oh, that's so great. Oh, I'm so glad you found this, Lewis. The game is composed of 11 mini games: feeding the children, give the baby a bottle, changing nappies, play with the baby, rattle, bathe the baby, dress the child, soothe the baby, rock the baby, sandbox game, and ball.
Ball, just ball.
That's
Which is the classic Game & Watch game, surprisingly. They just
yeah.
chuck that in there.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. That's so fantastic.
Although thinking about it, wasn't there a Wii game where you got this cuddly toy baby which you shoved your Wii remote in to play games somehow?
Oh,
Did that just come out over here?
Let's ask our Japanese. Like, I'm not to like generalize or anything. I'm sure there's something hidden in like the dark underworld of like very odd Japanese gaming or dating sims. That's probably something in there, but.
Yeah, maybe that game had heavily localization before it came over here.
Yeah, no, I found it. It's called Baby and Me. It actually comes with a doll. Yeah, it's. That's interesting.
Which you put a Wii remote inside.
Yeah, there's the link there. But yeah, you put the re.
I gotta see this.
Yeah, and it actually works with the balance board. You can use the balance board as a bed, apparently. Wow.
That is the creepiest top. I mean, adolescent on a gaming cover. I could. She no 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 okay blonde little girl holding up a pl like a baby doll, and whoever was responsible for this just decided like, well, she's too pale, let's just like, and I think somebody just went overload on the whole tan option, whatever, like when they're going through Photoshop and they're like, nah, like tan color's not good, let's just put pink on there to actually match the font, whatever. Oh boy, wow, that is bad.
I wonder how many hundreds or tens of games that title has sold. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it sold a ton to the Walmart crowd if that actually came out here in the States.
That one crowd.
Yeah.
Depending on when in the Wii's lifestyle came out, it could have sold very well because all
Yeah.
the stupid accessories that managed to leave the shelves, as it were.
Man,
You
I.
know, for anything, okay, for a motion control based console that could get a game like Carnival Games selling well over like 1 million units, which by the way, said game sold more than Metroid Prime 3 Corruption.
Yeah.
Let that sink into you for a little bit. Let that sink in.
Yeah. That
We know
actually.
what retros are actually working on now, then.
Are they working on a baby title? Is that their newest
Yeah,
game?
they're working on a baby simulator. I can just see I can see the look on like Reggie's face when he's announcing it, whatever, at E3. It's like, now, you've been waiting for Retro's new project. Reggie pulls out a baby doll, like a baby doll, and he's like, get ready for Retro's baby simulator. Ah, I
Baby
do
and Me
not
too.
want, do not want. Not ready. Not ready. Okay. I obviously, in my age, and my finances right now, I'm not ready to become a parent. But I am not ready to become a parent in the video game world right now.
Oh, that's fascinating. I cannot. I vaguely remember this being a thing, but it must have totally just passed me over. And now, I'm very close to clicking the buy me button on Amazon because it's only $13.90. That's dangerous. No, it won't do it.
Make an interesting video review.
Yeah, that's right. It totally would. Yeah. Oh, good things. Well, I suppose we should dive right into the news at this point. I mean, there really not much, but I mean, what did come out was very significant. I mean, we could talk EA. I think that's where we should probably start. So, either of you guys want to kind of jump right in?
Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we had a few EA related news pieces come out this week. I think the first piece was the fact that EA's managed to get exclusivity on upcoming Star Wars games,
mm-hmm.
which will link back into another piece of news which comes out. Because these Star Wars games apparently are also going to run on their brand new Frostbite 3 engine, which is all very exciting. another piece of news that came out by EA is... it's about the Frostbite engine. Okay, what EA is saying is they've tried to get Frostbite 2 engine working on the Wii U, which powers such games as certain of their Need for Speed games. I'm trying to think now.
Yeah. I think the
Battlefield 3, yeah, I believe it engine, powers.
Yeah. I think that I can't remember if Frostbite 3 is Battlefield 3. I don't know if that's a thing, but I know that the Frostbite 2 engine was running some of the previous Battlefields for sure.
Yeah, and they've stated that Frostbite 3 is what they're going to be using to run, you know, in quotes, next gen games. And they apparently already dedicated the future Mass Effect series,
mm-hmm.
The new Star Wars series that are going to be running it, and a bunch of others. I think most of their EA Sport games are going to be on the Frostbite 3 engine as well.
Right, yeah. It looks like the first game that's going to be run on Frostbite 3 will be Battlefield 4 when that launches, so yeah. that's going to be cool. It really surprises me that from this article that EA couldn't get even the Frostbite 2 engine to run on the Wii U, considering that it's generally about the same specs-wise as like a PS3 and Xbox 360, minus the CPU capacity. I mean, the CPU on the Wii U is a little bit slower, but I don't know. You would think that they'd be able to get that running. Do you guys find that troubling at all? Or
it is troubling that they supposedly can't get it working. It really depends how much time they've dedicated towards trying to get it working. Out of the box, I really wouldn't be surprised it wouldn't work, because it has its own architecture, which is different to the current consoles, although similar to the current Xbox. It is different, so you're not going to just slap it onto Wii U code, as it were, and expect it to run any game which is currently using the Frostbite 2 engine. But it is worrying they've made a point to say they gave it a go, but it wasn't running very well, so they stopped trying, essentially.
Right.
But where you look at Ubisoft porting over Assassin's Creed 3, which is a very big and impressive graphical-looking game, and they're also releasing, not porting over, the new Watch Dogs games, which is using another brand-new engine, which is a game for current gens, the Wii U, and the Xbox, the new Xbox and the new PlayStation 4. And so if Ubisoft can get a very impressive-looking game running on this whole wide range of platforms, why can't EA? So it makes it look like it is more of a political decision than a technical decision.
Right, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. I mean, Scott wrote a great article on the site just this week about Nintendo and EA, a love-hate history, and it was actually a really good read. A lot of the information came from, you know, lots of different places like Game Informer articles and just articles around the internet and whatnot. But yeah, it's a good read if you guys haven't gotten on there. You listeners, make sure to give that a go. It's on the Nintendo website right now.
It's a very lengthy, piece that, column that, Scott wrote, whatever. And one thing, it definitely puts everything that's kind of been going wrong right now, as far as, the Nintendo and / the Wii U's, relationship with third parties right now, and the fact that it's that matter of trust of whether or what not to put, our titles on this console, and isn't even worth it as far as, to sell right now. I mean, with the latest deal this week with Disney allowing Star Wars properties to be published and developed by EA, which I met when I first heard the news, I met this with a bit of excitement and joy, and then everything kind of clicked in my mind, thinking okay, you're going to be having DICE, BioWare, and Visceral Games go behind these titles, whatever. Great developers to put on a hand on there, but given EA's kind of shaky ground for the last year and a half not financially, but just with, you know, critically with fans and even analysts and journalists, it's just, it's kind of bringing a bit worry, it's giving a bit worrisome to me, whatever, the fact that you're giving this franchise control over them. And what I'm trying to relate that back as far as to, you know, Nintendo's relationship with EA, third parties with on the Wii U is, are we going to be able to be seeing any of these, like, Star Wars games on the Wii U? And, I mean, it has been quoted that, you know, EA plans to release these on all platforms, but how well can we take that quote into the context of this to make sure that is that going to become a reality?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because EA, they really are one of the most powerful companies in the industry, and without their support, I think it's going to, Nintendo may be in a tough spot. Although Nintendo has always lived and died off of their own first party franchises, so losing EA wouldn't be a death kill. But at the same time, longtime fans of Nintendo will be very upset, like myself included, if a lot of the EA games don't find their way over to the system. I mean, the Wii was one example of a console that didn't get a whole lot of titles from third parties, but some of the ones that did come from EA especially were some of the better ones on the system. I mean, for example, I really, really liked Boom Blocks, and that was one of the games that I continue to put into my system whenever I have a whole bunch of people over because it's just so fun. It's just one of the better party games on the console.
That was that project, I believe it was was a partnership between EA and, you know, Steven Spielberg, and I think that was supposed to be like a collection of, you know, a deal worth of a few games, and I think, yeah, and that deal didn't really kind of materialize. It kind of broke through, and we really didn't see anything after that as far as Boom Blocks.
Yeah, no, I think there was just the Boom Blocks and then its sequel, but other than that, I think that was it for that partnership there.
Yeah, that kind of disappointed me, knowing because I really would have liked to actually, you know, see, you know, that partnership kind of go a little bit further, whatever. I mean, I know Spielberg, who is an avid game, like, you know, who admits that he's an avid gamer. I mean, which amazes me, especially with his busy work schedule, which I assume has a busy work schedule as far as filming and, you know, dealing with other things, but also, well, that and his age. But,
yeah.
I mean, I would imagine as far as, like, you know, what kind of other project you could actually do. I mean, he had a hand, obviously, in the beginning of, like, you know, the Medal of Honor series, because at the time, you know, DreamWorks was actually another, like, publishing company that helped put those games out on the PlayStation. But, no, I would just actually love to see, maybe bring out a couple, like, you know, ideas, like, in the world of sci-fi, see if, like, you know, Spielberg could actually have done that. But I digress on that issue, knowing that on the issue of EA. But, but back onto it, it's just go back onto the whole issue as far as EA and Nintendo's relationship is, I myself would feel like losing them, it's not a death keel, but it's not a sign of good things to happen, especially with this console right now, again, which makes it feel like it's desperately needing games. And I'm going to admit right now is that, yeah, there are, I don't have buyer's remorse for my Wii U. I just truly feel bad for Nintendo's situation right now, thinking, like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, like, is this thing really going to turn itself around? Obviously, the company won't go under for this console, you know, being a blunder or not meeting sales expectations, but it's, I don't know, a part of me is kind of losing faith in them trying to turn it around.
Yeah, at this point, that's kind of the general consensus there. I mean, if this holiday season turns out to be a bust, then I think Nintendo has something to worry about. But a lot of what Nintendo is doing is going to ride on what happens this holiday season. I mean, there's a lot of games down the pipeline with the Wind Waker HD remake, and then supposedly rumored Mario game. And there are games in the pipeline, but seriously though, if Nintendo can't pull a couple of million consoles this holiday season, then perhaps we should be thinking about what Nintendo should be worrying about. But I think we're a little too soon to be burying the Wii U at this point. It's not even a year out, so.
I actually think, believe it or not, I reckon Nintendo's in roughly the right direction in what they're doing with the Wii U. I think if they pitched it as the same console as what the PS4 is going to be and what we imagine the new Xbox will be, I think Nintendo would be at a greater risk with losing support purely because people would probably play safe even still and put games towards the Xbox and the PlayStation. At least with the Wii U being what it is with its tablet-like screen and controller, it does have its own niche, and it is has its own unique appeal. It can definitely look different to the other two, which will most likely have a very similar feature set. Obviously, it's going to take a couple more games, core games from Nintendo, to come out to kind of prove this concept, which they've only really shown with Nintendo Land so far, which, as although it is has its deeper layers, it is essentially a party game. It's not quite a system seller, say, other revolutionary launch games like Mario 64 or even Super Mario World have been. So I think they will do well this coming Christmas. But what we really need to consider is how the PS4 and the next Xbox actually do at their own launches.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a large assumption that they're going to do fantastically. But I bet they follow a similar trend where the current Xbox and PlayStation are outselling the new ones just because of how expensive they are, and the games will probably be the same games mostly arriving on the current generation and the, in quotes, next generation of consoles.
Yeah, and that seems to be how it generally happens too. I remember when with the Xbox and Xbox 360 or the Xbox 360 launch and the PS3 launch, that was kind of the thing. The PS2 was outselling both the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 for a few months after the launches of each of them. So I imagine that's going to be the case as well with the Xbox 360 and the PS3 and outselling these two new consoles based solely on what I feel is going to be a high price point on these. We don't know what the price is going to be yet, but I can't imagine that they're going to launch anywhere close to what the Wii U is at right now.
Nah, certainly. And also, I think with Sony only just getting into the black, as it were, they're not going to be doing any risky moves selling it for substantially less than the cost of the console is. And although Nintendo's had a lot of misfortune with trying to differentiate the Wii U from the Wii, I think the next PlayStation and Xbox is going to have an even bigger trouble with this, because the Wii U has a screen in its controller.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to tell the average consumer who doesn't visit gadget blogs or gaming blogs every day what's so different about the PlayStation 4 compared to the PS3? Because they're both HD, they both have great graphics, and their games are going to look very similar on a TV ad.
Right, yeah, that's the thing too, right? I mean, exactly how much better graphics-wise are the Xbox, whatever, Infinity or PlayStation 4 games going to look to their predecessors?
And does the general consumer even care how much the difference is when it's HD to HD?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, when you play a game like Crysis 3 on, I've seen that on PC, and it just looks so fantastic. I mean, that's one of the best games I've ever seen running. I mean, obviously it was on a high-end PC, but still, I mean, what is the comparison going to be on the new Xbox and the new PlayStation? Are they going to even come close on the launch titles? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, so it's going to be, I think that not only is Nintendo fighting this uphill battle, but same with Microsoft and Sony. They're going to be fighting the same kind of battle that Nintendo is right now, especially if they can't bring the games. I mean, I've heard nothing but great things about the PlayStation 4, but yet we only know a handful of titles that are going to be coming out for it, and we don't even know if they're going to be launch titles.
Yeah. Although, bringing this back to EA, just for a moment, I think we don't need to worry too much about the Star Wars titles not coming over to Wii U. Depending on how EA handles the technical sides, we may have to have different versions if there are difficulties, genuine difficulties, getting a Frostbite 3 over. But I don't think Disney, as an entity, would let EA get away with not bringing games over to Nintendo, because Disney seem to have a great relationship directly with Nintendo. As we can see with, I believe in the latest film, is it Planes, that the games are coming exclusively to Nintendo platforms, with the Wii U and the 3DS? Although they're probably not titles that we're very interested. Disney has made this decision to put it on Nintendo consoles.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, because generally that's where you find the younger market. So that those are the kinds of, I mean, they're obviously those video game movie type of titles are going to play to that audience, and that's what Nintendo caters to.
Yeah, I think this could actually be a positive thing for us, because if we're essentially forced to have our own Star Wars games, which is different to the current gen, that's exactly what we need on the Wii U. We don't want copies of multi-platform releases, although as good as they are, we want unique experiences. How about this could be the time we finally get our motion plus controlled lightsaber game in HD?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, on the Wii U with the Wii Motion Plus, and then maybe some added functionality, some gamepad functionality. I would dig that for sure.
Exactly, or some sort of gamepad only driven game, some sort of experience that you could only do on these two screens or on the touchscreen, which you can't do on the other consoles. It would be great to see what unique features they provide the Wii U if they have to make this unique SKU for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, back to EA again. I mean, I generally don't really care about the Star Wars titles. I haven't really played a good Star Wars game since KOTOR, in my opinion. I mean, I played SWTOR, the MMORPG, for, well, as long as my free month lasted, anyways. But I can't say that I think I'll be missing too much if we don't get any Star Wars titles. But like you said, Lewis, I think that it's a high possibility that we will get them.
And sorry, just as you mentioned KOTOR, wouldn't it be fantastic if we got the latest Star Wars MMO onto the Wii U?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We obviously haven't seen anything from the new Xbox yet, but I don't think the PlayStation 4 has a practical user interface to be playing MMOs, but the Wii U does. That screen in the middle of your controller can turn to a keyboard at any time. You can use it for hotkey functionality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously got the microphone and such built into the controller there. And with Dragon Quest X hopefully coming into Western markets, the Wii U could be an interesting platform for console MMOs.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like you said, Dragon Quest Quest 10 is a perfect example of that. Over in Japan, it seems to be doing rather well on the Wii U, even though it's basically just an enhanced Wii game. But the gamepad functionality that has been added to that seems to be really enhancing the game quite a bit. So, it's just going to take a developer to really realize what the Wii U does best. I mean, it's never going to compete with the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox Infinity or whatever they're wanting to call it, horsepower wise, but with the uniqueness of the console, if they can figure out what exactly makes the console tick and what makes the consumers what they want to play on the system, then I think we'll have a good thing going. But it's just going to take some developer, not Nintendo, to have some kind of hit for it to catch on, I think.
Yeah, most definitely.
Oh yeah, it's a matter of, like, you know, again, if you put the games on there, more people will obviously be coming to buy it, the system. But one thing that kind of brought to my mind, whatever, is, I mean, I know I'm kind of shifting gears here, whatever, as far as the state of the Wii U, but is it too early for a price drop?
I want to say that if there's going to be one, it will definitely not be before E3, but I don't even think that at E3 we'll see one. I think that at the earliest, and sometime after Christmas, maybe like March.
See, I feel like if you're wanting to put on and like implement, say E3 comes and like Nintendo announces that this is a price drop, whatever, by June, I find that's bad timing on that part, not because of how early it is. It's the fact that you're price dropping this console with barely anything out, and I think it'd be smarter, whatever, when you price drop this when you have a plethora of titles out there, because, I mean, at this time, you're kind of wasting that momentum of a price drop. Well, momentum of a price drop, and then you're maybe getting like a month and a half of good units, like, you know, of good MPD sales, and at that, it's just kind of wasted.
Yeah, I mean, with games like Pikmin and Wonderful 101 and even like Resident Evil Revelations kind of still on the way, the Watch Dogs is still going to be coming to the Wii U. I mean, there are titles on the way. I mean, but so I think that cutting the price before we see what those do to the console sales would be somewhat foolish on Nintendo's part. But I think that, you know, maybe if they're not gaining any momentum, any traction after Christmas, then that might be a good time to drop the price. And even if they are, maybe they are starting to see some momentum with these new game sales. And a price drop would be one of the things that would help to really, really start selling consoles and really start to sell some of the titles that are coming out, some of the new games. So I don't know. I'm not a business major, so I couldn't tell you one way or the other. But that's my feeling anyways.
Nah, that sounds about right to me. However, I don't think Nintendo's going to be touching these prices until the prices for the other two consoles are official and set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
They would be foolish to do some sort of price drop before Sony announces their price, because obviously Sony and Microsoft will be basing their pricing structure depending on what is currently on the market at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be... I think that Nintendo has to hold their cards close to their chest on this one, at least until, like you said, the launch of these other consoles, to see... And to see, quite frankly, how well they sell. Because if they're not selling particularly well, then Nintendo will have no reason to drop the price at all.
Oh, no, most definitely. Oh, yeah, agreed. And it's... Like I said, whatever, it's... Things, I think, opinion and, you know, outlook changes once we see what the lineup and what they have available at E3. Obviously, we want that information now, but who knows? Maybe they come out, maybe Nintendo comes out, and then we have this quite a big launch, this lineup for, like, the upcoming for fall. Obviously, it's going to be a long summer wait, as far as painful summer wait for, you know, for many Wii U owners. And then, you know, you have this great lineup for fall, then it goes into 2014, and then, you know, the cycle repeats itself again, whatever, for more, you know, for E3 2014. I mean, if you get that really well, whatever, as far as, like, a good holiday, then that momentum comes back.
Right, right. Yeah, so it's kind of dicey, you know, I mean, what Nintendo should do in this area, but I feel that especially with Iwata coming to be Nintendo of America president, I think that he's going to start to get a better gauge on where the market is here in the States. So that'll help a bit. And over in Europe, I mean, we've already seen retailers taking in the initiative to drop the price anyways without the consent of Nintendo. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting year for the Wii U, where it stands at after Christmas time.
It should. And, you know, anything to kind of just make me care about this console. I mean, it has loads of potential, but I just don't want that to go for it to be wasted.
Yeah, and I agree, yeah, because it's too bad. When I sit down and play a game, I want to turn on my Wii U because the experience on it is actually really fantastic. I just like to have that second screen experience no matter what I'm playing. I mean, I wish that there were more. I wish that, like, for example, like BioShock, I wish I could have gotten that on the Wii U because I totally would have. That would have been my console of choice to play that game, but it just didn't happen. It just wasn't on the pipeline for that. So I just hope that more companies, more publishers, more developers see the potential of the Wii U, see where its strengths lie, and start to cater to that.
I hope so too. And, you know, it's I just kind of hate being labeled as far as, like, well, obviously, Grant, I know the problems, whatever. It's the fact that it's you have many early Wii U owners right now. You feel like, oh, you guys are suckers. That's it. It's
Yeah, I feel almost as if I'm a Nintendo apologist at this point. But no, what it is we're just Nintendo realists. We have to, I mean, we know.
See, I'm a Nintendo apologist. I mean, that says in my bio on Twitter right now. Like, aside from being, like, a big Stanley Kubrick fan, whatever, I put on there next to it Nintendo apologist.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's all. I mean, I almost have to do that at this point because there's just, from what I've heard around, I mean, a lot of people just don't understand what the Wii U is even, or what the, at this point, a lot of people still are having trouble figuring out what the 3DS is. I just had a conversation recently asking if they could play one of my 3DS games on their DS. And I said, well, no, because you can't play it. It's a 3D title. Well, I just won't play it in 3D. Well, but it doesn't work like that.
It's like, well, the thing is, there's this thing called it's a new handheld. I mean, here's my 3DS, like, oh, wow, can I just buy that console without the 3D in? It's like, no, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
You're trying to wrap that around. It's a concept that's trying to wrap around that they just can't grasp.
I think there's worse situations to be in, though. Because I don't think there are many, say, PSP owners who are going to their Vita friends asking to borrow games. I don't think that scenario is popping up much.
Right,
so
yeah.
I think that... Sony would rather be having this scenario with their portables.
Right, yeah. And the Vita, I don't know. I don't have any desire to get one. At first, for sure, I mean, being an early adopter, I was all about wanting to get a Vita. But now, just like looking at the rather meager release schedule for the console month after month after month, and just not seeing anything compelling, it's rather disappointing, actually, for Sony. I kind of almost feel bad for them.
Nah, certainly. And it's we not to know yet whether the one of the new next-gen consoles also has a similar fate. I mean, on paper, the Vita looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything the gamer was asking for. It had the two sticks. It had a big, gorgeous screen. The portable was, you know, reasonably sized. It had a half-decent battery, at least compared to the 3DS. It seemed to have a fairly decent lineup. It even had a brand-new Uncharted game on launch day, released over here. And it's just kind of... fell off the edge of a cliff and not to be seen so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that going to Sony now, I think that Sony is really going to have to hit the PlayStation 4 out of the park if they want to really continue and be relevant in this the console space and the handheld space, because obviously the Vita needs a lifeline. It's just at this point it's going to need a price drop and a couple of 10 games to get it going, you know. But with the PS4, I think that they have all the potential to be great. I mean, everybody's all excited about it right now, but come launch day, if the price isn't right and then the games aren't there, then Sony's going to be in a dire state, kind of like what 3DS and Wii U were when they first launched.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the PS4's kind of key selling point is, really. I mean, with the PS3, obviously it was the HD graphics, but also a big selling point was the fact it had a Blu-ray drive in it.
Mm-hmm.
But what new does the PS4 really bring the average consumer?
Well, see, I mean, one of the things that the internet is gushing over is this share functionality, the ability to, like, save the last whatever. I think it, like, automatically saves, like, the last 30 seconds or a minute of gameplay, so then you can upload it to some video service. But that doesn't tickle me at all. That's not something that really makes me want to buy the console.
I think that particular feature only caters to a very small market in terms of global market share, who they're actually going to be positioning this console at. So I don't think it's necessary Sony is going to have it easy with releasing this console. I think there is a potential that they may sell less than the Wii U or follow a similar path to their Vita console has.
Yeah, it definitely, especially with there are some things that are that may cater to the hardcore audience. I mean, obviously the graphics enthusiasts out there are going to purchase these things right up because they want to see what the latest and greatest look like on console. But other than that, I mean, does anybody, like you said, really care about this share functionality? Does anybody really care about this touchpad on the front of the controller? I mean, we have to see some games with some applications that are actually using them to get excited about it. With Sony just telling us that this is going to be the next best thing, that's just not quite enough for me.
Yeah, and even with those kind of more obvious features that they had to set them apart last time, it really didn't pick up to a year or two after its release.
Right.
It really did have slow sales in the its early days. And people were almost predicting its doom in comparison to the in comparison to 360 sales.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, yeah, extra animal compared to the Wii sales.
Right, yeah, and then actually I think right now the Sony's almost caught up to 360 sales just because of the 360's lack of just anything in Japan and Sony's dominance in Europe.
Yeah, it kind of helps Sony the fact that they get the Eastern sales. where Microsoft doesn't seem to get any.
Right, right.
So that's kind of balanced out.
Right, yeah. Well, do you guys have anything else to add on the EA front? We kind of strayed away from that that topic.
I do have a point to mention. Although I said I'm quite positive the Star Wars games will come over in some form, I think the most worrying thing about EA's supposed lack of interest in Nintendo is their sports titles. If we don't have any more EA sports titles to the Wii U, which is a possibility, what would fill its shoes? Would Nintendo's own Mario offerings be enough to cater towards some sort of sports demographic? Would it be wise for Nintendo to use one of their first or second party studios to create a more realistic line of sport titles? Or do you think there's some sort of third party who could step in to kind of be that role, which is missing?
The only series I think Nintendo could do that is maybe, I don't know, maybe Star Fox and Metroid branch those out, rebrand it a little bit or something like that. But again, I would buy. As silly as the concept sounds, I would probably end up pre-ordering, buying that, and enjoying it for good or bad. I don't know. Maybe there's something about using a Jedi mind trick to pull an offsides or something like that. That'd be great. Whatever. But with Metroid, for being my favorite series out of Nintendo's catalog, but it's a matter of getting that audience. I mean, this is kind of a series I always say is a cursed franchise. I mean, for every great iteration it has, its sales are always up and down. I mean, what way could they do to actually make it branch out to a different demographic?
I think I've got the solution for you. And Metroid always seemed to fail to capture the attention of the Japanese audience. So I think what the solution is, you hand it back to Tecmo, who did the Other M game, and you get them to do Samus Beats Volleyball.
Yeah!
As soon as you said, let's hand this back to Tecmo, and I was like, where are you going with this?
if we can do Metroid Samus Beach Volleyball featuring Zelda and Peach, Princess Peach, I think you might have something going.
We would live in a very strange world if that game existed at any time.
We live in a strange and perverted world. That's what we live in.
Oh, that's funny. Well, back to the Nintendo perhaps doing their own types of sports titles, at least here in the States, I don't think that would work for, at least for the American football or even the FIFA titles or soccer titles, because with EA securing the rights to FIFA for, I think, what is it, something ridiculous, 2022, and then they're also going to be bidding on the Madden franchise again here pretty soon. Without the actual named characters, without having your, your Joe Flaccos and your Peyton Mannings in the game, and then it's just Joe Schmo and Frank, whomever, I just don't see those selling very well. I think we're kind of fickle that way, us Americans. We need to actually have the names attached to the players.
Yeah, I think the only other way you could get around it is if you try to offer more traditional arcadey type sports experiences. So you don't have to have the real teams and names attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you go deliberately to a more not realistic type of sports experience. Not so far as to go with the normal kind of Mario crowd, but have crazy and zany effects and exaggerated moves and some more of jump in and play type sports games.
Yeah, kind of like the FIFA Street and NFL Street titles that were...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a little bit more arcadey, like the Blitz and those types of games. I can see Nintendo doing that. I don't know whom they would get to make those ones, maybe like Griezo or Next Level Games or something like that. But
yeah, I can't remember who the original developers were, but can you remember who handled the Sega sports titles?
I believe it was 2K, right? Because they were the NFL 2K type titles. I'm not 100% on those.
Well, the 2K titles were handed off obviously to 2K as far as when it came off. But who developed it. I'm looking that up right now.
I'm not 100% on this one. I want to say that it was like Sega did the publishing.
Oh, it was Visual Concepts. Concepts were like behind like the majority of the NFL 2K titles.
Okay, yeah. So Visual Concept, I remember those guys from like the. I want to say that they're basically all sports titles. Like they must have done like all the Major League Baseball games and the. I want to say that they've done a WWE game in the past. But
the only one I know, like the developer that's responsible for that is like Jack Specific. That was the only thing I remember that was really responsible for like the majority of all those titles.
Right. Yeah. Visual Concepts. Now that I think about it, that was. Ooh, I better look this up before I say anything. But I want to say that they were involved in like the Desert Strike and Jungle Strike games of like the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo aged games. I mean, I'm not 100%. And yeah, they were. And then even the Clay Fighter titles too. Wow, that's interesting. They've been around for quite a long time.
And the other route they could go down is if they brought back the old Virtua series for Virtua Tennis and. I think they had Virtua? Did they have volleyball and?
They had Beach Spikers.
They had a couple of series,
didn't
they?
I remember Beach
Spikers. Oh yes,
Spikers.
Which was released on the GameCube.
Yes,
that was actually a pretty good game.
Yeah, it was actually I was one of those like smaller sports titles that came out there that I mean didn't really sell well, but it was received well by critics. It was just a simple arcadey style of a like beach volleyball title. So, and that was actually done I think by the same groups that actually did Virtua Tennis.
So do you guys think that if the Nintendo would just go like their traditional route of making like the Mario Strikers and the Super Mario Sluggers, those type of games, is that not enough to please the crowd that's looking for sports titles on the Wii U?
I don't think it's quite enough. I think they will do the Mario offerings, but I think they will pair up with someone to make their own, almost their own brand of more realistic sports titles. Mm-hmm. They won't be, extremely realistic to compare against the EA offerings, but there'll be a nice middle ground of not Mario cartoony, but jump in and play arcade type fun, which you can get your mates around.
Right, and if Nintendo is gonna have anybody do any of their sports titles, it might as well be the Next Level Games who is in charge of at least the soccer titles on the GameCube and the Wii. So, because I think those were two pretty excellent titles. To be honest, they were really fun.
But to be fair, this could come from anyone. Because remember, I think it was Square Enix who did one of the, a couple of the Mario Sport games.
Yeah, I think it was called like Mario Sports Mix or something.
Yeah, they
like
did the
that.
Sports Mix, and they also did the basketball game for the DS before that.
Oh yeah, Mario Hoops 3-on-3, I think is what it was called.
I never did play that. I never did get a chance.
You weren't missing much. It was
nah.
It was an interesting concept, but it was all like touch controls, and it was kind of hard to wrap your head around.
But yeah, knowing how big Square Enix is nowadays, I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to use them as some sort of sports developer just completely out of the blue.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, and Square has, like you said, they're so big, they've acquired Eidos since then, so that is a possibility. I kind of like when Nintendo branches out and gives their kind of core characters, like the offshoots of the games to other companies, like Capcom has worked on Zelda titles in the past, and those like Minish Cap is one of my favorite Zelda titles. It's really good.
It helps free up the Nintendo's main studio, especially with EAD, whatever, for more things to actually do. You have your main guys, like for instance, like Intelligent Systems, Retro, and even Monolith Software working on the much bigger projects. So when you branch, when you have these hired guns in the form of these outside developers, get these titles, whatever. It really puts off. It takes a lot off their hands.
Yeah, and Nintendo has a lot of capable second parties that do a lot of that work too. I mean, Camelot's worked on the.
I was just about to mention them.
Yeah, they've worked on the tennis and golf games. So, they can easily be used to develop some of the sports titles.
Yeah, I think Camelot would be perfect to be, if Nintendo was looking for a developer to. Branch out and create a new line of sports games. I think Camelot are the guys to do it.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'd like to see Camelot do other things. I mean, like, the Golden Sun games are some of my favorite games on the handhelds, and they're also in charge of, like, the... I think it was Sega that was that they developed these games on, but, like, the Shining Force games are really good, too. So, I mean, they've done a lot of good things in the past, Camelot, before the Nintendo kind of took them over their wings. So, I don't know, but yeah, definitely they would be more than capable of creating a sports type of line for Nintendo. So, yeah, well, before we end off the podcast, do you guys have anything that you guys want to plug in before we close off the show?
Well, aside from, you know, game, whatever, I kind of have a bit of a boring life out there, but I will be able to give, you know, my Twitter handle out there like all of us. I know that sound very conceited. That sounded very conceited a little bit, but no, my Twitter handle is H Milfeld, and spelled out for you is H MILFELD. And yeah, you can just find me ranting on there and whatever I can and whatever I get my hands on, whatever. I mean, today I want to mention on Mother's Day. Today is a very kind of a, when you have like very special holidays like this, it always brings out the best in comedians who make like jokes at this one. And one thing I remember a joke, but I kind of paraphrase this a bit, and I said this on Twitter, is like, how does a male seahorse exactly celebrate Mother's Day? Because, you know, a male seahorse carries like the baby.
Yeah,
so,
right.
It carries the workload. So, I mean, how does that one, it's kind of a bit of a conflicting holiday for that type of creature.
There's a couple of animals in the animal kingdom that are that way as well. I can't remember. I know the seahorse is one, but yeah, that's kind of funny, actually.
I think Birdo might be the other.
Birdo, yeah.
Birdo, I forgot. Yes, we forgot about our gender-confused, often-forgotten Nintendo boss. So
that's funny. Well, I'd like to end the show with talking a little bit soccer, because recently, just this week, the Manchester United boss, Alex Ferguson, announced his retirement, and that caused a waterfall, especially to my Everton boys, my Blues, because David Moyes is now going to be going to Manchester United, and now we're left managerless, and I'm rather sad. So I just wanted to say that before.
You guys got a good – I mean, well, he was a good boss, whatever, for you, especially for you guys, but, I mean, he's – look, I know we're ending this on soccer, whatever. I know this is the part where some people who are not into the sport are like, okay, this is where I end the podcast.
Yeah.
No. Man U could be losing Rooney, too. I mean, apparently he's putting in his own transfer papers right now to leave, to leave Old Trafford. But, and when you mentioned Blues on there, I mean, I realized how many Premier League teams are nicknamed the Blues?
The Blues, yeah.
You have Chelsea, you have Everton, and you have Man City. I mean, it's a very – I forgot how many of these teams are nicknamed that same type just based on the color of their jerseys, whatever. I feel like there'd be a little bit branching out to avoid confusion.
Yeah, and how about Man City losing in the final the other day to Stoke? That was interesting.
I was wanting to watch that at work, and I told one of our servers, like, hey, can you put this on the game, like the FA Cup game, whatever, and, you know, I was watching through my prep window, and yeah, they turned it off right before Wigan scored. Yeah, I know. And I live in St. Louis, so they turned it right when the Cardinal game started, and I was thinking, like, you know, turn that back. Well, the Cardinal game started. I was like, yeah, but... I want to watch this. Yeah. There's like 10 minutes left.
Oh, that's funny. I think I might have said Stoke earlier, but yeah, you're right. It was Wigan that ended up taking the final there, and that was rather surprising. So, but I'm not sad at all. I don't like Manchester City, so I'm okay with this. Well, speaking of football, let's go on to our non-football watching.
Yeah, I've been quietly contemplating if it's worth, you know, rejoining in my interest of football just so I can get an extra foot into the end of these shows.
Yeah. Hey, there's plenty of footballing left. I mean, there will be, it's going to be a lot of international.
There always is.
But there's a lot to take in, especially over there in Europe. I'm sure you guys have here it's hard for us to find any matches on television, but I imagine that's not the case where you're at.
Definitely not. Nah, football retire anytime you want it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, how why don't you give us your end of show quibs?
Yeah, certainly. My Twitter handle is Luvsion, which is incorrectly spelled Leuvsion. And you can use that same handle on the Apple App Store and the Windows Phone Marketplace. And you can find some Nintendo-inspired 2D games of my creations.
Excellent.
And we should be expecting some games on Android soon, but not quite yet.
So is it harder to get your foot in on the Android side on the Google Play Market, or what's the deal with that?
No, it's not harder. I mean, I've had a kind of a Google Play Store account, as it were, from the developer side for just over a year or so. It's just the program I'm using to create my games, for some odd reason, have only just managed to release the Android plugin off the software. And it's usually Android would come first, definitely at least before Windows Phone. But because Windows Phone uses XNA, and getting things onto the Xbox Live Arcade was one of their priorities, Windows Phone just kind of came along with it.
Right.
But thankfully, the tools I use now are all synced up for iOS, Windows Phone, and Android. So all future releases by me should be day on date for all the main platforms.
Right. Well, that's good, because I mean, I have an iPod, but I don't have an iPhone. So
Okay.
it's nice to see developers supporting the old Google Play Marketplace.
No, definitely. And oddly, my main phone of choice is a Windows Phone,
Oh, really?
which you didn't used to see much of, but they seem to be popping up more, at least in the UK.
Right, yeah, I was messing around with a buddy of mine's Windows phone, and I was tempted to switch over. It's got a lot of cool things going on with it, for sure. I kind of like the tiles that the Windows Marketplace or the Windows Phone Marketplace, whatever, has kind of brought to the table. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm also kind of a Nokia fanboy. So when they moved over from Symbian and MAMO and all the other platforms they were jumping from to Windows Phone, I just kind of went along with them.
Right. So, which phone are you rocking right now?
I'm using a Nokia Lumia 920. So that's their current flagship.
Right. Yeah. Well, I still have my old Samsung Galaxy One. For it's
Oh, yeah.
on. Yeah. It's but it has a keyboard. So there's
That's
that.
true. The keyboard seemed to be going away, which
Yeah.
is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's why I haven't decided to upgrade yet. I send too many emails because of work or my other work as a soccer coach from all the soccer mamas. They always want to email me at all hours of the night. So, yeah, well, I suppose that's it for the show, folks. I mean, it's been another good one. We had not quite as long as last week, but I think we've given you your money's worth. So, with
If
that.
this podcast were worth any money,
Yeah.
yes.
But if you want to send us money, go ahead. I mean, I have no qualms about that. Send them to. No, just kidding. We need to send.
Whereas for me, you can send them at this email right now.
Yeah. Well, with that, guys.
And for me, you can just buy all my games.
Yeah, there you go. Lewis will pay us out with all the Infendo listeners that are buying his games. We have a stake in his company now.
The Infendo app will be coming out soon, apparently.
Yeah, you're right. All right, well, folks, that's been Infendo Radio for the week. Be sure to join us again next week and comment on the podcast, or go to the forums, or send us emails at tips@infendo.com, or just hit us up on Twitter. We'd be happy to have you join the show. So, with that, it's been a week. We'll see y'all next time.
See you there.
See you later.